Don't need nobody by my side, I got me. I start out every single day on my knees. I pray to God and he meet my every need. I hustle and pray every day.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Andre Mitchell, also known as Dre Reese to me. Of course, I'm here on behalf of Wise Words. We hadn't did one of these in quite a while, so Andre's been reaching out to me and wanted to get one in, so I figured what better shot to do it than to get back right at it and get it started. So here we are today. We're going to talk about some wise words, some inspiration or motivational, maybe learn a couple things about Dre here. I met him, shoot, it seems like a lifetime ago. I've known him pretty much my whole life. If you're not aware, in this community, Russellville, Logan County, I mean, he's one of the pioneers, OGs to the whole rap music thing, in my opinion, anyway. I remember back in the day, Andre was out in the parking lot in the bowling alley selling CDs. This is one of the first people I ever known to have his own music on a CD. He might even have one on tape cassette. Did you?
Yes, I did.
I figured you did. He's been at it for a long time, and I know he's got some great stories to share and probably some inspiration and motivation for everyone. Andre, we was talking about just a few minutes ago. Like I said, I've known you as Dre Reese, and then, you know, there's been a transformation, and it's now Andre Mitchell. You care to shed a little backstory on that?
Okay, so... yeah, the thing with that is my stepfather's last name was Reese, and growing up I took in his last name because you know, he was a father figure in my life, and I looked up to him a lot and really didn't have a whole lot of relationship with my father, so I kind of basically dropped his last name and took on my stepfather's last name. However, when I turned 18, things was a little different because using documentation was on paper. And so I had to go by what was on my birth certificate and social security card, which is Mitchell. And so the only people that really know this is immediate family. And so that's why I get that question a lot with people that I grew up with from around here. You know, because when I moved to Kentucky, everybody here knew me as Andre Reese.
Gotcha. And when did you move to Kentucky?
So I was about 10 years old. It was, I hate to tell the year.
You ain't gotta tell your age. I just, you know, about what, you know, what age you moved to Kentucky?
So. Yeah, I was about 10 when I moved here. My mom, you know, decided to move out this way. And of course, this is where all my mom's side of the family is here in Kentucky. And of course, all my dad's side's out west in California.
California. And you said you was in some kind of group or something musical at an early age, right, in California?
Right. So when I was 7 years old, I started out singing with the San Francisco Boys Choir. And
wow. You know,
it's a group of kids that back then what we would do is a lot of a cappella singing and harmonizing and different things of that nature. And then of course it was a really nice program. They would teach us musical notes and different things of that nature. However, over the course of time, a lot of that has left my memory, you know.
But it's still back there. You got in the back of your memory or back of your mind or whatever, for lack of better words. That's pretty cool. I learned something today that I didn't know about you, and hopefully, you know, other people did as well. Now, we like to start these podcasts, videos, whatever you want to call it, with a favorite quote, something you live by, something that's, you know, inspired you through your life. Do you have a favorite quote that sticks out to you?
I do, and, you know, mine is, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, it's a Bible verse, and of course, you know, that's part of my background anyway, as growing up, very involved in the church. You know, my great-grandfather, he was a pastor and a leader in the community. And so, of course, there was a lot of standards, you know, that I had to be raised up under. Now, I'm not gonna say that I'm a saint and did everything right in life, you know, but we'll get into all that just a little later, I'm sure, in the show.
Well, y'all better stay tuned, because I've got a lot to talk to Dre about, you know, from life to music to business, to, you know, everything in general. So this is going to be fairly long, so, you know, go get your coffee, go get your water, because we're diving in deep today, and I hope you make it to the end. But with that being said, I want to do things a little bit differently than I normally do on these, and I'm going to start it off with like some icebreaker questions. Just to kind of get to know you better. This is going to be like a rapid reaction. So first thing that comes to mind, I want you to pop off with it. And we'll just go ahead and get started.
All
right. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Okay. Night owl or early bird?
Ooh, early bird these days.
Early bird. All right. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Okay.
Definitely.
Movies or books?
Books.
Books. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction.
Fiction, okay.
Yeah.
Basketball or football?
Basketball.
Okay. All right, that's just a few. Just wanted to kind of get that out of the way, just to kind of break the ice, learn a little bit about what you like. I'll probably have more of those next time, but for now, that's what we're going to do on those. So, you know, it's been a crazy year. It's 2020. Everything's been way different than before, and quite honestly, I'm not going to get into everything as far as all the craziness, but I do want to ask, you know, how has your life been different since COVID?
Wow, it's been different in a lot of ways, you know, especially with this so-called social distancing. I like to interact with people, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's made it difficult. It's made it difficult and hard. Then of course now, with all this going on, we can't even really congregate in the church like we want to. You know, a lot of it's government restrictions, and then if one person gets sick, you know, then just basically shut it down. Everybody self quarantine. So it's been different, you know. They call it the new normal. I don't see nothing normal about this.
Man, I don't think it's ever gonna go back to the old normal.
Right.
All right, cool. I know before you was doing a lot of shows and events, going to churches and doing, you know, live performances and whatnot. Have you been able to do any of those recently?
Actually, I have. So the first one that we got to do since all this, was Labor Day weekend. We was invited to Litchfield. You know, it's a mega church. They have a nice setup out there. Shout out to K-Dro, thanks for the invite. And you know, they're doing good things over there. They have a community set up where they take in kids, you know, and shelter them. And then they give them principles, you know, to live by, and strictly biblical. That's what I like about it. You know, you got to have structure in your life,
absolutely,
in order to maintain in this society and to be productive.
No, I completely agree. For somebody that's never heard your music, kind of describe it to us and tell us, you know, a little bit about what they could expect if they've never heard your music.
Okay, so here's the catch to that, because there is still some old music circulating and floating. However, I don't have my hands on any of those today. I kind of wish I did, but so even back then, I would always try to have something that a lot of people can relate to.
Right.
You know, that's the key thing, is when you push your music to make it relate to the bigger crowd. You know, not necessarily just one group of people, But when you can relate, when all people can relate, then I think that that speaks in volumes with your music.
Absolutely.
You know, and so now today, with today's music, because this is what I like about the transformation. I have a lot more older people
that can
relate, and they say, they'll come up to me and they'll say, man, we don't listen to rap music, you know, but we can understand what you're saying, and you're making sense. And so, you know, that that also speaks in volumes as well, when you can reach an older generation with this type of music.
Right.
And so that's good, because it expands your audience.
If you had to sum up your message in, you know, like, quick two sentences, what would you say your message to music is?
My message through the music? You're not going to be perfect, but don't give up.
I like it. I like it a lot. Write that down. I mean, that's wisdom right there. That's some wise words in itself. So, I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit. I actually got notes this time. Normally I don't, so. I actually came a little prepared. Who, if any, artist would you compare yourself to?
That's a tough one, man. Because I really can't compare myself to another artist.
I couldn't think of anybody, so I thought it was a really good question, and that's why I put if any at the end of it.
Right,
so,
I understand that. So you, I guess if I could actually see, I mean, I have had people tell me back when I was doing mainstream music that I kind of reminded them of Nas. Now I didn't see that, but then I got to thinking on
maybe not so much
format.
The style, but you know, just the lyrical content, and
right.
You know, that you're actually. You actually have a message, and it's not so much of just going with the beat and the flow and whatnot.
Right.
So I could see that comparison. Kind of a similar question, but not at the same time. If you could collab with any artist, dream collaboration, who would it be?
Well, there's two that pops up in my head off the top, and of course that's one of them is my inspiration. That actually motivated me to start rapping and everything. And rest in peace, wish he was here today, but it would be Tupac, definitely. But now that Kanye West has made this switch and he's doing hip-hop Christian, maybe hooking up with him. You know, I like his style, I like his beats. Even used to listen to some of his mainstream, so.
What I like about that is I didn't ask you, but you gave me a dead or alive answer, so that's pretty cool. but yeah, I'd love to hear you with the Tupac collab. That'd be awesome, as well as Kanye too. That'd be pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So, what song, what was the first song you did that you was like, you know what? I want to continue doing this. This is something I want to do.
Right. So, this was back in 1999. Yeah. It was a song that I did called Represent the Ville. I hooked up with, he called himself T-Mac back then.
Okay.
And also known as T-Martell. You know, we had been talking. And he told me, hey, I got a studio, you need to come out. And so finally, one day I did, and that was the first track that I laid down, and it was called Represent the Ville. Then, of course, that's when it took off. I didn't stop, you know. Of course, I've had many of songs that I wrote. You know, that was, I guess you could say, put away in the vault, so to speak.
Man, I've got to know, you probably remember, man, but back in the day, you had like three songs on this CD that you was out hustling, you know, out the trunk, like way before, you know, iTunes or Spotify or any of that stuff. I mean, I'm talking 10 years before that stuff,
right.
If not more. But what, man, what was that hit single, the big single on that?
So it's either got to be The Only Way, Risky Business, Strictly For My Pimps.
I think it might have been that Strictly For My Pimps, just because it might have been The Only Way, man. I don't remember the song, but I just remember being so impressed with it that, you know, actually, I mean, if I'm being honest with it, it kind of inspired me to get into the music, seeing someone, you know, from our community that was actually out, you know, and I heard it, and I was like, oh, man, this, you know. So, shoot, I've kind of been in it ever since then, and I got you to thank for that, because like I said earlier, I really consider you one of the pioneers. You really inspired and had more of an impact than I think you realize on this community. You know, hats off for that, for sure.
Thanks, man. I greatly appreciate it. Very honored and humble on it. And, you know, I know that it's got to be some truth to it, because I've heard it from a few others as well, you know, and so... and that's the thing, you know, when people can show you respect, you know, respect and honor, then that goes a long way. It does, because that shows what type of character, you know, that you are. And you know, I'm blessed and honored that I could have an impact on the community in such a way.
In a positive way too, you know, especially since you kind of transformed your music from more of just a hip-hop rap to a Christian rap or whatnot, to have that positive impact, I mean, it says volumes in itself. So, like I said, I give major props for that. When you're riding in your own car and you're by yourself, what do you listen to? What genre, what artist?
So I have a wide collection, man, you know, a wide collection. So as far as my gospel music, I listen to some Marvin Sapp, Dedrick Haddon, Brian Courtney Wilson. And I still listen to mainstream hip-hop, you know, but it's the older.
Yeah,
you know, this new stuff. Hey, y'all keep doing you. I'm not knocking you, but it's not for me.
Hey, I'm with you. I don't listen to anything outside of. I mean, there's a few artists, but you know, if I'm listening to mainstream hip hop or whatnot, I'm definitely going late '90s, early 2000s at least.
Right,
you know?
Right. You know, I'll get the dust off of some old pop or. Every now and then I might go back to 3-6, you know. Every now and then I get that itch and want to hear something that I used to get crunked to, you know.
Yeah, it's a mood and a vibe, and it takes you back to a moment in time. That's what I love about music, you know. You know, you can listen to a certain song and remember smells in the air that time of year or whatnot. I pinpoint moments in life from what album was out around that time, you know, a lot of times. So,
and you know, and this might be a shocker to some, but like I said, I have a wide, wide variety. You know, I might even throw in some Stone Temple Pilots or something. Okay. You know, and then I might go to Stevie Wonder. You know, so I have a wide.
Is there anything you don't listen to, like a genre that you're like, man, I just can't. That's just not me.
Yeah, because you know. That's country. Now don't get me wrong. There may be, I can count it on one hand about how many songs that I actually like that's country. But you know, music is music. So.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Do you ever listen to your own music?
I do. Yes, I do. Especially some of this new stuff that I've done. You know, I've been trying to switch it over a little bit. To a little more singing.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I'm still doing the rap.
I'm anxious to hear that.
Yeah, I'm still doing the rap.
taking it back to the San Francisco, what'd you call it?
Boy Choir.
Okay, so yeah. you're back to the singing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Back to singing just a little. You
that's
know?
What's up, that's what's up. So when did you hook up with TK and start doing the Anointed Productions?
Yeah, so with TK, it started when he came and visited my church, the church that I attend. Of course, his mom was a member there. She was really concerned about the direction that he was headed in life. And so he came, and I knew, you know, that that he rapped and everything. Of course, because we crossed paths on the other side of the fence, you know. And so the thing with that, though, is people would come to me and say, man, you and TK should hook up and do some music together, you know. Well, now, he's younger than I am. Mm-hmm. And so when people would come to me and say that, I kind of brushed him off, you know, so to speak. But anyway, so we had a poetry night at our church, and he came and he spit some fire that night. I laid down a beat on my little drum machine, and he ripped it. Mm. He ripped it. And so after that, man, we talked after that. I'd say about a week or two later, we was hooking up some stuff in the kitchen together. The
rest is history. Yeah,
that's right.
Man. Well, let me look my notes. All right, well, no, actually, that brings me to a good point. You said, you know, y'all were, you know, local and had ran across each other before or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is there any local artists that you haven't worked with that you would like to work with?
Yeah, you know, and that's funny because I was thinking about that earlier today with Mark Woods. You know, we had talked about it, but never actually connected.
Mark, we're gonna make it happen. We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, we need to, man. You know, and 1-5. I just talked to him about a week ago. You know, and told him that I'm here in Russellville now and have a.
That's listen. My guy too. So I'm gonna make those two happen. This is on camera, so we're gonna make it happen. Maybe a song with all three. You know, the three of you on one song or four. Let's get TK on it too.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
We just making business right here in front of you. Cool. That's what's up, man. That's I'd like to see both of those. We're gonna work on those. All right. Well, I'm gonna kind of gear away from music just a little bit. I mean, of course we can. You know, it all kind of goes in together. Mm-hmm. But if you could go back and say you had like 20 seconds with the 20 seconds with the 20-year-old dude, what would you tell him to do and not to do?
20 seconds with the old 20-year-old me?
I ain't timing it or nothing, but
I feel you. Okay, so number one would be very, very cautious who you allow in your circle.
Yeah, that's big.
You know, especially when you're young like that, because you don't really focus on things like that. You're just focusing on having a good time, you know, and living it up and partying and not really having too much cares of the world.
I don't know. Yeah, I get that.
But, you know, one thing that I learned is majority of the people, they usually have like a one Judas or something in their circle, you know, somebody that'll betray you, you know, in the blink of an eye, just like that.
It's always someone close to you, I mean, mm-hmm. usually.
Yeah. That probably would be the main thing. And then I probably would either say something like, make your money honestly. You know, if that means go to school, make your money honestly. These streets, man, that life's not all what it's worked up to be.
No, I agree. Definitely something to be said for that. What, I mean, is there anything that you would go back and change in your life? Are you happy with where you're at now?
I am happy where I'm at. And a lot of the things that has happened in my past has pushed me to where I'm at today. And so, you know, that's kind of tricky, man, you know, because a lot of people would like to go back and change some things in life. But life is all a learning process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I think that's, you know, that's a common answer for that kind of question, because I think that's, you know, as long as you're on the right track, you know, you really don't want to change anything. I mean, you could go back and make different mistakes, and it would probably, you know, lead you to a different outcome. But overall, I think that's a pretty solid answer for that kind of question. What did you want to do when you was growing up? Did you always know you wanted to do music, or did you have?
No, I didn't. Music was there. You know, of course, it started out with poetry. But no, man, I had hoop dreams. I had hoop dreams.
I remember,
man,
you being a baller. Shoot, I remember we used to hoop all the time out at the park, right? Logan County, the county park.
And so the thing with that though was, them dreams got shattered. My 11th grade year in high school, I got caught smoking a cigarette in the gym class, PE. And so the teacher made it an effort to go to the basketball coach and to the principal instead of just putting me in ALC like, you know, they would do the rest of the kids. And so, but the thing with that though, is that was my second strike on that, because that summer when we went to basketball camp, as me and a couple of other guys, I don't know if they would want me to throw their names out there, but some guys I went to Logan County with, we was in our dorm, and we were smoking, and the basketball coach had come up, and he just seen the cloud, you know. He said, "Y'all in there smoking?" You know, we couldn't fan it and say no, you know. The nicotine hit him in the face, so he gave me my warning then. He said, "Next time, and you're gone." And sure enough, he made an example and a believer out of me. And that leads to another actual story.
We got time.
Okay. So with that being said, you know, basketball is my passion. And here I was kicked off the team. So I had two options, go to Russellville, or there was a Christian school that they had started in Russellville called Trinity. So I went to the Christian school and went and played ball there. Record still standing. They averaged 32 points a game, and then the 6 rebounds on top of it. And so my hoop dreams were still alive then, because I had colleges looking at me. Of course, they were Christian colleges, but they still had interest. And so I thought, well, here's what I'll do then. I'll take that back to Logan County my senior year and, you know, play ball there. And they had started a transfer rule where you had to sit out a whole semester, probably, or it may have been a whole school year, and not play any varsity sports due to recruiting reasons or whatnot, something to that nature. Yeah, so then that shattered it all, man. That shattered it all. And then that's when I went down a different path in life.
Wow, I did not know that. So, I mean, you could have, if you would have just stayed at the Christian Trinity.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, definitely. Because one of the schools was Pensacola Christian College in Florida. You know, I went to the basketball camp there and won the 1-on-1 varsity tournament. It was 101 people there. Won the whole thing on that. I turned around and got MVP of the week. And then I won the hot spot shooting contest that they had.
Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so if I could possibly change something, It may have been my cigarette habit that I picked up years ago.
But hold up, though. The cigarette got you to Trinity, which got you the wreck here.
True.
So, okay, this is a good question. If you could go back, would you change getting kicked off of the Logan County team? Or would you change transferring back from Trinity to go back to Logan County and not being able to play?
Yeah, definitely. That would be the decision. Keeping my buddy Trinity. Because I don't know what it was about Logan County to begin with.
A lot of politics.
That's what I was about to say. Because don't get me wrong, there was some talented kids there that was in my group. But all hands down, I mean, you know, when you got talent, you got talent. And then not only that, you know, I did have a bigger shoe to fill going to Logan County because of my uncle leading Logan County to the first state tournament and then them winning it. And,
who's your uncle?
Fred Tisdale.
Fred Tisdale's your uncle?
Yeah.
And my dad used to tell me stories about Fred Tisdale all the time growing up.
Yeah.
So he went on to play at Western, didn't he? Win something there, right?
Yeah, he went to Western, and then when he left Western, he went to Uruguay and played overseas for a few years.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he's a local legend too, you know, especially when it comes to hoops. Mm-hmm. That's interesting stuff, man. All right, that's a decent follow up question with that, but. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be? I mean, you can pick here.
Yeah. Right now, I am definitely comfortable where I'm at, you know. But I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I always saw myself somewhere like Vegas.
Vegas.
You know, but that was when I was living a complete different lifestyle too, you know. But maybe that could be on the bucket list.
Never know. Hey, man.
Going to Vegas.
Anything's possible.
That's right.
If you could, draw out a perfect day for me, man, like, getting up in the morning and going to bed at night, what would a perfect day look like in the life of Andre Mitchell?
A perfect day. So I don't know. I guess hopefully this will be an off day from work.
No, this is your perfect day, man. Yeah. No responsibilities. I mean, what you want to be your responsibilities, but
right.
You off work. You know, you're gonna be.
Right now, though, the perfect day for me, man, is each day that my kids are taken care of.
Yeah.
You know. As long as daddy's providing for them, man, we knocking out perfect days every day.
Hey, I can't touch that answer. That's a perfect answer. Well.
And you know, because I mean, it's a little history with that as well. You know, my kid's mom, she passed when my daughter was 2, going on 3, and my son was 3, going on 4. You know, and so, of course, I was always in their life from day one. You know, when they came out of the womb, mm-hmm. I was cutting the umbilical cords. And so, you know, but my responsibility definitely has gotten more stronger on taking care of them.
Yeah, that's gotta be tough, man.
Yeah.
It's gotta be tough. What would you say? I'm kind of following it up with that. I mean, it doesn't have to be bad. But what has been one of the biggest obstacles that you've had to overcome in your life?
Let's see. It's been a whole lot of mountains, man. A whole lot of mountains. I guess the biggest, man, would have to be with the kids, you know. Of course, because I was married to their mom, and we was in the middle of a divorce, you know, just prior to her passing, I'd say 6-7 months before she passed. You know, that's when everything was in motion. And so I was trying to get full custody of the kids before then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a big obstacle, because it's like the court systems and everything is more lenient to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you can prove that they're unfit or anything, you know, to that nature. So that was a big obstacle, man.
Well, my hat's off to you, man, because I mean, raising kids is never easy, but it, you know, for a father to actually be in the kid's life, I mean, you know, we take that for granted, because there's so many that aren't. You're getting up for work, you know, start your day. First of all, what time do you get up, and do you have any particular routine you follow on a daily basis?
Yeah, yes, I do. So when I get up, I'm usually up about 4:10 a.m.
Early bird.
Yes, sir. I get my coffee brewing, you know, and then I may do a little meditating, you know.
Oh, you meditate?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Definitely have to, man. You know,
do you listen to like a guided meditation, or do you just do it silent?
Every now and then, I may throw in a little music, and then a lot of times it's silent, because I don't want to be too loud with the kids and everybody still asleep, you know.
How long have you been meditating?
Let's see, man, for a long time, actually.
Before it was mainstream popular.
Yeah, it started out, man, I was kind of taught at a young age, you know, to do that, but it's been more consistent in my life, I'd say, past 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know, man, we're going to get back to the original question, but you popped off the meditation, and I got to dig in a little bit deeper on that. So, with your Christian background and whatnot, how do you compare prayer and meditation?
So it's the same, basically. You know, when you're meditating on our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you basically connect with them, you talk to them, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, that's the answer, you know, I wanted to kind of get, actually.
Right.
Yeah, I respect that. So back to your morning routine, you're meditating, you've had your coffee,
mm-hmm.
You're up early. You know, I've always heard legends either go to sleep at 5 a.m. or wake up at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that you get up that early. Okay, go back into your morning. Tell me what's next.
Okay, and so then you know, I'll get a little breakfast prepared, and then get my lunch made, because I try to save a few dollars if I can, instead of going out on lunch break and going to the store or something like that, you know. And then get all that set, man, and then I'm out hitting that clock. You know?
Yeah. What time you gotta be at work?
Six.
Six. So you got a good, you know, 2 hours basically.
Yeah.
You know, kind of get your day going.
Right. Right.
Get the right mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, dealing with different people, man, on a day-to-day basis, you deal with personalities and everything, and so you always want to try to make sure that your mind's right. Mm-hmm. You know, your mind's clear. Your mind's right. And that way, you won't let too much affect your day, you know.
Good answers, man, good answers. So complete this sentence for me. I value ...
Well, you know, they my priorities, and so you'll always probably hear me throw them in the mix a lot, and that's my two little ones.
Okay.
You know, I value them. Then I value life. You know, we life is a precious gift that God gives us. You know, a lot of people look at it as a mystery, but it's a perfect gift, mm-hmm. you know, that He's given us when He allows us to breathe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree more. So earlier when we was doing the rapid reaction questions, I asked you, you know, books or movies, and you said books. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me three books that have changed your life?
Yes, I can. Let's see. It all came from one book, big book, but you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Okay. So what's your favorite book of the Bible?
Oh man, that's the Book of Acts.
Book of Acts.
Yeah, you know, and the Book of Acts, man, is it's powerful because it's the beginning of the movement. You know, of the actual church movement. And then how God used His disciples, mm-hmm. man, you know, I tell you, my great-grandfather told me this many years ago, man, to read the Bible. He said, read the Bible, man, if there's so many different stories in there, you know, you'll see stories about love, you know, you'll see stories about betrayal, yeah, encouraging stuff, you know, and so, you know, I found that to be true. I didn't see it then, but I see the truth in it now.
How many times would you say you've read the Bible?
The whole complete thing, I'd say, my goodness, is a lot.
A lot?
A lot, man, you know. Of course, there was a period in my life where I was incarcerated for a 15-month period. Uh-huh. And just in that time alone, I read it twice. Of course, reading it then, I read it as a book. Mm-hmm. So I didn't...
Front to back.
Yeah, I didn't gain anything. Only thing I gained... only thing I really gained out of that, man, is... it's just reading a book. You know, the thing with the Bible is it was inspired and written through the Holy Spirit. So you really can't just approach the Bible reading it like a regular book.
I got you.
You know, that's where a lot of people say that they don't understand it. And I get that. I understand. You know, a lot of the, and then when you got to the thous and those, it does make it a little complicated to understand. And so that's why they have these different Bibles. You got to be careful with that, though. But they have these different Bibles, you know, that will try to give you a better understanding and everything. But yeah, I'd have to say the Book of Acts, man, is my favorite.
Gotcha. Outside of the Bible, is there any books that you recommend or?
Well, let's see. What is the name of that? It was a T.D. Jakes book that I read, man. It'll come to me, the name of it.
All right, we'll get back on that here in a little bit.
Yeah.
So, do you have any strange habits that someone else would consider weird?
Strange habits that somebody might consider weird? I don't know, man.
I had to throw a curveball in there, man. Yeah. Everybody's got a strange habit one way or another.
Right, right. I don't know. you know, I guess it depends on what you would call strange, you know? I
stumped him on that one. Yeah, all right. Got him on that one and the book. But cool, man. So, on your journey, who do you consider to be, have been mentors that have helped you out and been there, you know, through rough spots, that, you know, always had encouraging words for you?
Right. So then that would go back to my great-grandfather. And then also Fred, you know.
Tisdale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he, you know, he took me in a lot. He saw the struggles with his sister, of course my mom, especially when my stepdad was out of the picture. He more or less kind of stepped in and was like a father figure for me. You know, he would come and snatch me up, and I'd go stay with him for a few weeks, you know, at a time, and different things like that. And yeah, so he was, he's always been there and been encouraging.
Yeah. Hey, I've learned a lot about you today. Hopefully everybody else has too. All right, this is kind of a fun question. So you've got a billboard that you can put anything that you want to on it. What do you put on the billboard?
What do I put on the billboard? Let's see.
I'm kidding. If you made it this far, I appreciate you anyway, so.
Let's see here. Man, it's a lot that I would wanna put on the billboard, man, you know? Cause I like to motivate people, you know? Have people dig within themselves and go.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I hate to use it, but I guess it would go with my favorite quote, you know, all things are possible to them that believe, you know, because a lot of times definitely everybody's not going to believe in you, but you got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a well put quote on a billboard. Okay. Not everybody's going to believe in you, but you got to believe in yourself.
That's absolutely true. If y'all don't take anything from this statement, you got to believe in yourself. I always like, you know, impossible actually says I'm possible. Mm-hmm. If you really look at it.
Yeah.
But in order to achieve anything, you got to know what it is you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to this, as far as goals at this point in your career, what kind of goals do you have set?
So right now the goal is, my main goal, man, is to reach people and to help bring transformation in their life.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's been my number one focus since I switched to this genre in music. And then there's other goals I have behind it. Don't get me wrong. As far as possibly getting signed, signed to a label or something to that nature. And then.
So you'd take a deal?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll take. Dre's looking for a deal. Anointed Production, sign us.
Shameless plug there, but so I mean, what's next for Anointed Productions? What are you guys working on? New music?
Yeah, so we've been, it's been kind of rocky, man, with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, just to be honest, I've just been basically sitting here trying to cook up some beats, you know, and maybe a couple of hooks on top of them.
So you make your own beats?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, on the last CD that we did, two beats came from me, and then two beats came from the internet. He got with something, got him somewhere.
Okay.
You know. But yeah, so I told him no, we need to kind of steer away from that, and make sure everything's original.
Yeah. You limit yourself when you, you know, at least, you know, don't own the beat for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you make beats. How long you been making beats?
So I've been making beats, man, not quite as long as I've been rapping.
Okay.
But I'd say 2002, 2003.
All right.
When I first started dabbling in it.
You got some beats for sale?
Yes, I do.
Okay, y'all hear that? He's got some beats for sale.
I do have some
too.
Beats for sale. And I'm willing to work with any type of artist, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a hip hop. You know, I'm looking to expand. If I can get me a little country kit, I'll try to make a little country beat for somebody.
Ah, well, diversify. That's what's up. So, where can people find you?
So right now, basically, we do have an Anointed Productions page on Facebook, and so you know you can find me and TK on there, or you can even look me up on Facebook, Andre Mitchell. You know, I'm not a shady individual. I'm very down to earth. You know, you come to me and we can negotiate or work something out. And if you find me there, then we can work out the phone number or anything to that nature. Or you can send me a email, andremitchell.am24@gmail.com.
I'll put it on the screen too whenever I go back and edit everything up. So I really feel like we've covered a lot of ground here, and you know, so, but is there anything that, you know, we didn't cover that you want to make sure that you get out?
So I do want to kind of give a little small testimony, that way you know, people, because a lot of people don't know where the switch came out, you know, or the change in my life came out. So you know, we can shine a little light on that. So it started, I guess, about 9 years ago. You know, I was in my drug addiction. Drug addiction and alcohol. Also even selling drugs, you know. That was going on in my life for quite some time, since I got out of high school. And so then, anyway, to bring everything to par and kind of summarize everything, about 9 years ago, the police had came to my residence and kicked in the door, looking to find drugs. Supposedly I had sold some coke and some marijuana to, I wouldn't necessarily say an informant, but somebody that got pulled over with the drugs, and they found them. And so what he did was wrote statements and said he bought the drugs at a guy named Andre Reese's house. And so when I got off work that night, it was a big surprise. Here I was, just got off work, about to do two lines of coke, had them stretched out on my my mirror, did those, and I was in the process of rolling up a blunt. Put the blunt to my lips, hit it a few times. The next thing I know, I see blue lights hitting my wall everywhere in the living room. And I said, oh God, what's going on? So I opened up the blinds and I looked out, and there was about six or seven sheriff cars lined up in front of my house. I said, oh man, they can already come in here. They had another individual in my driveway. He was out, they were searching his vehicle, they had handcuffs on him. So anyway, make the long story short, the marijuana, the weed that I had left, I scraped all of it off the table, stuck it down in my pants, and then that was about all the time I had for. They was at my back door. It took them seven kicks to kick in that deadbolt lock that was in the back. Seven kicks. And so they couldn't get in my front door because the screen on the front door, the handle on the outside was missing. You can only open it from the inside. So they had no choice but to go to the back. And so finally they got it kicked open. So here I am. They say, is there anything in the house that we need to know about before we bring the dogs in? And I said, well, you know what, here you go. I went on ahead and pulled the weed that I had tucked away and gave it to them. Because I knew I was going to jail anyway. They found roaches in the ashtray. I mean, come on, this is Russellville. You know, especially 9 years ago, you get caught with some roaches, hey, they're going to take you in. So they take me in. Well, 2 weeks later, Ashley Grayson comes to my house and says, we have a warrant for your arrest. I said, a warrant for my arrest for what? She said, trafficking 4 grams of coke. And so this is where I find out about the guy getting pulled over and all this and that. So I'm like, okay. I said, well, y'all came in the house and didn't find anything. She said, well, yeah, but you must have sold to an informant or something. I said, okay, whatever. So they took me to jail. I sit in jail for 8 days without seeing a pretrial. So here I am. I call my mom, let her know I'm in jail and everything like that. And so she's on the outside trying to work on getting me out. Finally, I get out and see the pretrial, whatnot, go to court. So here now they trying to charge me with trafficking coke and marijuana. Of course, they didn't find anything when they searched the house, but still yet, this is what they were trying to charge me with. Now, I say this though, I may not have been guilty at that time, but I was guilty. Because it seems at this point in my life, my past was catching up to me. And so while I sat in jail for those 8 days, I come to realize that I was tired of this way of living. I was tired of the in and out of jail and everything like that. And my mom, she's a praying mom. She always was praying, you know, that change would come into my life and that I would live a different lifestyle. So she talked me into coming to church. So I went to church and I'm still going in and out of court because, you know, what they do is they like to push court dates. You know, they'll push it up a few days, push it up a few months. So here I am in and out of court and also going to church at the same time. I step into the doors of Freedom Church International. And they are strictly about prayer, reaching out to God, crying out to God. And this is why I love Freedom Church so much, and the pastor there, you know, is they don't mind going to war with people whose souls are lost, you know. And so here this pastor was coming with me to court. And it's a woman pastor, for those that didn't know. I believe that God can use anybody, man or woman. So here she is coming to court with me, and she's, you know, she's encouraging me and saying that, you know, what the enemy meant for your bad, God's getting ready to turn this around for your good, and everything to that nature. And here I am, I'm petrified and scared because, you know, I'm thinking, well, heck, they can try to railroad me. But so here's the catch to all this though. So here I'm going to court, and I'm like, you know, the day that they're trying to accuse me of all this, I was actually at work. This is why I said I wasn't guilty at this time, but my past was catching up to me. So I said, well, you know, since McDonald's has cameras and everything, I can show proof that I was at work. However, the Commonwealth attorney wasn't ready to accept anything like that. So they were trying to railroad me. Anyway, basically what it boiled down to was the final day, court date before the trial date, they came up with a plea. And so here was the plea and offer that they gave me. They said that, hey, we'll drop the trafficking cocaine charges if you plead guilty to trafficking marijuana. So I paused and I thought about it a second. And I said, you know what? Okay, whatever. Plus at this time anyway, I started seeing a little transformation taking place in my life. Because at this time I hadn't already quit selling, quit smoking, quit doing coke, doing it all. But that didn't happen until I kept going into church and praying and started reading the Bible for myself more and getting a better understanding, you know. And then that's when transformation began to take place. So they put me on probation and everything. I get a job. And so anyway, I guess about the 5th or 6th month being on probation, the probation officer looks at me and says, today can be your lucky day. He said, I have 4 people come in here and piss dirty. if you can piss clean, he said, I'll take you off of probation. He said, you seem like you're not a problem or anything. So I said, where's the cup? He handed me the cup. I went on ahead and did my business, and everything was clean. So then they let me off probation and everything. And from that time on is when I began to walk into my calling. Of course, for those that don't know, not only am I doing hip-hop Christian music, but I'm also called to preach the gospel. I've been doing that now for about 8 years, ministering and witnessing to people. And even on Monday nights now, I started this a couple weeks ago, on Facebook, I do a thing called Food for Thought, 6:45 p.m. And it's where I'll go over some scriptures and kind of, it's kind of like a devotion slash maybe you could say preach or minister to that nature, but I'll go over a few verses and then elaborate on it and give what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me to you. And so you can catch that on Monday nights at 6:45 on Facebook. I go live. And so, you know, I just want to say, though, that no matter what you do in life, that you keep going, you keep pushing yourself to the limit. And I don't know where some of y'all may be in your walk with God or without God, you know, but I know in this day and time and the last days that we are living in, we all need to connect to God, because he's the one that keeps us safe. He's the one that brings change in our life, and he's the one that can make things happen. And I just want to say thank you to all who tuned in. Shout out to my boy Jordan for the opportunity to be able to give my testimony for one thing, and then maybe to inspire somebody else. And I just want y'all to stay blessed. Check out Anointed Productions on all streaming platforms. We'll be having some new stuff come out shortly.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope you made it the whole length of this interview, because I learned a lot. I'm motivated. I'm inspired. Hopefully you are too. And thanks for joining us today. Thanks for telling your story, your testimony. And anybody wants to reach out to Andre, from what I've heard, you know, he'd be more than glad to speak with you and hear your story too. So everyone have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Following dreams.